WUKY presents health news you can use. It's Dr. Greg Davis on medicine.
We have in our society an increase in suicidal ideation and suicidal thoughts among the pediatric and adolescent population. The pandemic, of course, has not helped. I recently spoke with Dr. Alyssa Briggs, an assistant professor in the Department of Pediatrics and in the Division of Adolescent Medicine. Alyssa, thank you so much for talking with me today. I wanted to explore with you the incidence and prevalence of pediatric suicide, and perhaps maybe we can start out with saying we have to explode that myth that this is something that we shouldn't talk about.
Correct. I think that is the main thing that I would like to communicate to parents and community members, that really the time to talk about it was yesterday, but all we have is today and the future. So, you know, we need to be talking about it. And talking about it is not going to put ideas in anybody's head or make anything worse. In fact, it may give some kids and some relief in order to be able to talk about their thoughts and feelings with a person that they care about.
Something along the lines of, thank goodness, finally I can talk with mom or dad or an adult caregiver about what I've been feeling.
Exactly. And that in and of itself can reduce distress for a kid.
Are we seeing an increase in suicidal ideation or attempts with the COVID-19 pandemic?
First of all, we've been seeing an increase in suicidal ideation for the past 10 years. And given what we know about the pandemic, it has certainly increased a lot of risk factors for ideation. So some risk factors include isolation and financial strain. And, you know, we know that the pandemic has contributed to that. There has been a increase in pediatric visits to emergency rooms for mental health related concerns. So there was a study by the CDC that looked at visits of kids to emergency rooms for mental health concerns in 2020 during the pandemic as compared to 2019. We saw an increase of about 24% for children between the ages of 5 and 11 and 31% for children between the ages of 12 and 17. So that's pretty significant. And during that period as well, we saw fewer emergency room visits for other medical related concerns. So we know, that I think that depicts that during the pandemic, there's been an increase in distress and perhaps even ideation. What we have not seen yet, thankfully, is an increase in suicides. So we're seeing an increase in distress and an increase in ideation, but not yet an increase in suicides with the data we have available. So I think we have a really important job as a community to talk to our kids about this and prevent any increase in suicides.
And not to be redundant, but because I've heard this so often, I think we do need to underscore that broaching this subject with your child or friend or anyone is not going to, quote, put the idea in their heads, end quote. And that seems to be a pervasive myth that I know I heard when I was in training and was debunked even way back then.
Yes, that is a very pervasive myth. And I think it's a myth that's easy to hang on to because the idea of death is inherently scary and something we're inherently afraid of as humans. And when we're scared of something, there's a drive to avoid it. And so, you know, I think there's a lot of fear of bringing up the topic and talking about death, but that is not going to put an idea in somebody's head.
And of course, this applies to adults. We're not just talking about a pediatric population here.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct.
What sort of treatment modalities are there out there for our pediatric population who are in distress? I'm assuming there are a lot of telemedicine and opportunities now because of the pandemic.
Yes, there are a lot of telemedicine opportunities because of the pandemic. as well as some in-person opportunities depending on the practice and the provider. For children and adolescents, cognitive behavioral therapy is a gold standard. And, you know, the idea behind that is that we can't necessarily tell ourselves to feel better, but we can change our behaviors and we can try and change the way we think about things and view things. And those two things will hopefully help us feel better. And really, whether you start with the cognition part or whether you start with the behavior part, you know, somewhat depends on the preference of the child and their developmental level.
And then sometimes in addition to psychotherapy, then there are medications that can be beneficial in a certain population as well?
There are, although, you know, with my license as a psychologist, I've, you know, not trained, right, in making determinations in that regard. If you're going to do only one thing, do therapy. But if both are needed, of course, talk with your pediatrician, or if you think both are needed, talk with your pediatrician. So therapy has been demonstrated to be effective alone. Therapy in conjunction with medication has also been demonstrated to be effective. But medication alone may not be effective.
Absolutely. No, and you often, I'm sure, find yourself working in teams with perhaps licensed clinical social workers, pediatricians, child psychiatrists, and teachers. I would think just about anybody who comes in contact with a child would be somebody that you would have worked with.
Yeah. And in adolescent medicine, I'm lucky to work with social workers, with pediatricians, nurse practitioners, physician's assistant, dietitian. So I get to work with everybody as part of a comprehensive team in order to meet the needs of kids.
And I guess an opening point for a parent or adult caregiver who's concerned with their adolescent child or any child would be to talk with their primary care provider and go from there?
Yeah, I think, you know, talk with your primary care provider. Pediatricians should be prepared to screen children and adolescents for depression and suicidal ideation. I think, you know, the nice thing about starting with primary care providers, pediatrician, is they have knowledge of your family and your child's development. And should also have knowledge of community resources. Another professional that can be reached out to is a school mental health professional. So the vast majority of schools have a school counselor and a school psychologist who have training in addressing children's mental health needs.
Alyssa,
they can also help with links to community resources.
Oh, okay. And Alyssa, is there anything that we haven't touched on before we part that you would want our listeners to know?
Yeah, and I think what I would want our listeners to know is that, you know, depression and suicidal thoughts don't discriminate. And one of a kid's biggest fears is being judged by a grown-up. So, you know, when you talk to kids about this, we want to stay away from comments like, well, you have no reason to be depressed, or look at this, you have all these great things. We really just want to be empathetic with the way our child is feeling and help them get the support they need and leave judgment regarding their thoughts or feelings at the door.
Well, something I've always said to my trainees and students is that if you're a thinking and or feeling human being at some point in your life, you're probably going to need therapy, and that includes me as well.
Correct.
My thanks today to Dr. Alyssa Briggs, Assistant Professor in the Department of Pediatrics and Division of Adolescent Medicine, for talking about suicidal ideation in pediatric and adolescent populations. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky who volunteers his time to cover important medical news for our community. This program is available as a podcast at wuky.org.